Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Ukraine Calling. I'm Tanya Bednarczyk for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv, and we're bringing you our feature interview, followed by some new music from Ukraine. In this episode, Bohdan Nahailo talks to Alfred Prowse, the president of the Ukrainian-Austrian Association, and they highlight the old and multifaceted links between the two countries.
We don't often talk about Austria on the program. We have lots of visitors from the States, Canada, Britain. And I'm delighted that today we have somebody very eminently qualified to talk about Austrian-Ukrainian relations. And this is Alfred Prowse, the president of the Ukrainian-Austrian Association. Welcome, Alfred.
Thank you very much. I'm really pleased to have been invited. And Do you want me to tell?
We want you to tell the maximum in the short time available. Let me begin by saying that many of our listeners know that Ukraine and Austria have been connected for centuries, mainly because of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and Austria's rule in what is now Western Ukraine, Eastern Galicia. But I want to remind our listeners that Austria was, in fact, one of the four major powers, or certainly two major powers with Germany, which almost 100 years ago, at the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, were the first to recognize Ukraine's independence. So we remember that and are grateful for that, and not only Franz Josef and for the good rule in Eastern Galicia.
Okay. In this respect, you are maybe even a little bit better than me in history. I'm mainly informed and mainly knowledgeable about monarchic connections, because in the first years of my work in Ukraine, I have been many times and predominantly in Western Ukraine, so in the former part of Austrian-Hungarian monarchy, like Chernivtsi Oblast, like Ivano-Frankivsk, like Lviv, and like Zakarpattia, and I have been doing some business. So I'm well aware that this was one of the thriving times of this part of Ukraine under the Austria-Hungarian Empire.
And under the Habsburgs. Right. And that is a special study in itself. I mean, if we were to talk about the fate of the Habsburgs, and in particular one of them who was with the Ukrainian Sichovi Strilci and was killed by the communists eventually. A book has been written about him, Vasily Vishivani, as he was known in Ukrainian. But that's another story. Okay, before we launch into our discussion, I want to emphasize that Ukrainian-Austrian relations, they are built not just on history, they're built not just on culture, but today increasingly also on economic ties. And I'll ask you to talk about that in a while. And to put things in perspective, I also want to remind listeners that exactly a week ago or so, the president of Austria paid a state visit to Ukraine, a very successful visit. And we'll talk about that in one second. But first, Alfred, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you end up in Ukraine? How did you become the president of the Ukrainian Austrian Association?
Basically, I may say that I have been in international industry and in international engineering for 25 to 30 years even, ending up at board level and successfully restructuring international groups with worldwide business, Austrian-based groups. I came to Ukraine by chance, because a friend of my family, who is the son of a formerly very successful Eastern Europe entrepreneur, he was asking me, Alfred, please help me, because after my last industrial job in Western Europe, I took a sabbatical because I was successful in turning around a group of companies. And he asked me to assist him in building up some business. So this is how I came here, just when the Orange Revolution was taking place. And that was in October, November 2004.
So you've been here quite a while and you've seen quite a lot of change, ups and downs.
Yes. In the first years, I was shuttling between Austria and Ukraine. But as happened many times, and as still happens many times, I got stuck I may say, stuck somehow in Ukraine, because end of 2006, I met my actual wife.
A famous opera singer, a soloist at the Kyiv National Opera.
Yes, Susanna Chachoyan. I'm happy that I met her, and it was a real incidence, because normally, as an expatriate, as a foreigner, you don't easily meet these people. They are in private clubs and in private restaurants or in private rooms. So it was just by chance.
This helped to integrate you not only into the business economic life, but the cultural life, the social life of the country.
And in this respect, or say because of this, I may say I'm not a normal expatriate. Yeah, I'm a kind of peculiar or special expatriate, and I'm glad about it.
Okay, well, let's focus a little bit on the work of the Ukrainian-Austrian Association. Give us an idea of the size and scope of this entity.
Okay. Originally, I had planned to go back to Western Europe when crisis broke out 2008, 2009, and then Yanukovych came, and there was not much business, not much international investment, not much trust by Western Europe concerning Ukraine. But it was family reasons why I stayed. And a little bit more than one year ago, I was so much frustrated about the lack of real business and about the lack of interest concerning bilateral business, or say international business, Ukraine-Austria, that I decided to establish a platform to work from. And this was the reason and the motif why I established Ukrainian-Austrian Association. I am using as a vehicle, as a platform to do cultural, to do social life, civil life, and of course also business issues, and to start some business.
And you've obviously been helped by the association treaty, the EU's treaty with Ukraine, the free visa regime, etc. That has probably made the operating environment more conducive.
This was certainly contributing to the reasons why I established Ukrainian-Austrian Association, yes. But it's a private initiative.
Yes.
I have to stress that, because I was treated in the past month, yeah, like somebody highly official, because there was obviously a real niche or a vacuum for an association like Ukrainian-Austrian Association. So I was well received, surprisingly well received.
So we can say that you have an official ambassador here, you have the state-to-state relations, and you are the unofficial ambassador who's been here for many years and supports the work of the ambassador.
I would not say that, but if you say so, I would not contradict.
Of course, we have to be diplomatically correct and follow protocol. Look, I notice from the Ukrainian Business Journal's publication that Ukraine's exports to Austria rose by 48% last year. This is what President Poroshenko said at the joint press conference with your Austrian President Alexander van der Bellen, and that overall bilateral trade was up 18.5% to $1.2 billion. That's not bad.
This is quite good, I would say, for such a tiny country as Austria is in Europe, because we are basically one-tenth of Germany, as compared to Germany, yeah? And but Austria has been, as you have mentioned at the beginning, a quite important investor in Ukraine from the very start.
Can you give us a few examples of the most recent areas? What is of interest to Austrian investors?
Bank Aval, belonging to the Raiffeisen sector, is meanwhile the most important and by far the biggest bank, foreign bank, in Ukraine. If you go to insurance business, there are two very big international Austrian groups, like Unica and Vienna Insurance Group. So they are market leaders in Ukraine. So this is insurance. Then we have a lot of industrial investments, yeah, and in Kiev Oblast, in Zhytomyr, in Kherson, of course, in Western Ukraine, former monarchy, etc. So Austria, I think, is number five or number six in terms of investors in Ukraine, foreign investors in Ukraine. And this may not even be the true picture because there is Cyprus. And Cyprus, you never know where the money comes from. And I know some Austrian businesses who do their investment through Cyprus.
Yeah, I note from my the information here that, for instance, in the Lviv Oblast, 15% of all foreign investment last year came from Austria compared to, say, obviously the next door neighbor, Poland, which spent 16 billion. And I think you spent Austria about million dollars. And I note that Austria is 8 hours by road, by motorway, and a 90-minute flight to Vienna, that you have Austrian Airlines flying to Lviv. Do you think that one day we will see Austrian coming to Kyiv as well?
Of course.
Well, I think it flies also to Odessa,
Austrian
Airline, doesn't it?
Austrian Airlines is flying some days even twice a day. To Kyiv, it's flying to Odessa.
Okay.
And as far as I remember, it's flying to Kharkiv as well. And okay. Of course, Lviv.
Impressive, impressive. Just to remind listeners, I'm talking to Alfred Prowse, the president of the Ukrainian-Austrian Association. And I see from there there are projects, new projects, packing for Coca-Cola, the Dana Park packing, part of the Vienna Prince Hall holding.
Paper, yeah.
Yeah, sawmill project, another one for hundreds of millions of euros, or at least that's the potential in the Carpathian Mountains, but doing it in an ecologically clean and controlled way, not just massacring the trees.
This makes a difference.
Of course. Well, I think, you know, Austrians are known for propriety and doing things properly, yes? Okay. And there's a new honorary consulate in Lviv that's just moved to new premises and a new person has taken over.
Lviv, it's Mark Janmalski.
Yes.
He's a lawyer at law company Artzinger, good friend of mine. And he has a very prominent father, top guy at university level. And I think this was a very good move.
So before we turn to culture, you see momentum now in the development of bilateral economic relations.
I do see that, although I'm not that optimistic as some other people, like from Germany and even Austrian TV was telling that relations are booming. It's certainly not a boom. Western Europe is still quite hesitant. There is much more interest now, but there are a lot of factors and a lot of issues which are still preventing the big boom. And one thing, let me tell you, I'm really aware of, and I'm always alarming people, that is, if you compare the investment attitude of Western Europe to that of China, if Western Europe is not waking up a little bit, China will be the biggest investor, much bigger than even the European Association in total, because China is acting and Western Europe is thinking and considering, and this makes a difference.
On another scale, not as large as China, but we have Turkey also interested.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, look, in a nutshell, if things were to improve the business environment, corruption curbed, etc., what else could Austria offer at this stage to Ukraine in terms of not just investments, know-how, links to help this country integrate into European structures?
Austria is a prime country concerning tourism. I'm having at present a project maybe to involve the world-famous Modul University to start a collaboration, a joint venture in Ukraine. This is just an idea. We are at the first stage of it, so it's not official. It's just to mention that there are some moves, some considerations in this respect. So tourism, for example. Apart from that, Austria is a small country, but it has got some real, very important hidden champions. For example, circuits, printed circuits. There is the company AT&S, and they are one of the world market leaders, even with operations in China, etc., etc. For example, there could be know-how. Industrial sector, hidden champions. Nutrition, food engineering. Austria is, let's call it delicacy business, gastronomic, high-level gastronomic products, in many cases organic products, truly organic products. So there can be a lot of know-how in food industry as well to be brought from Austria to Ukraine, just to give some examples.
Well, this is very inspiring and of great interest. And of course, this has meant that we have limited time left for the cultural aspect, which is also important. Okay, in terms of cultural relations, clearly we see the impact of the Austrian heritage in Western Ukraine, particularly in the big cities. It's not simply the Poles that played a role there, but let's say under the leadership and supervision of Austria in its heyday in the 19th century, much progress was made. We know of Leopold Sacher Masoch as a writer. His dad was a policeman in Lemberg in those days.
Yes.
And I believe that your father is also from somewhere.
My father was born in Chernivtsi in 1919 because my grandfather, he was high-ranking police officer from the monarchy, and he only got back to Austria 1 year after the First World War. So sometimes I'm even showing the passport of my father. It's a Chernivtsi. I think it was Romania in 1919.
But one feels that particularly in Western Ukraine, in what was called Eastern Galicia, there is this, let's say, there was a nostalgia in the older generation for the good old days of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And we used to hear stories in the 60s and 70s that people still had portraits of Franz Josef in their
building. Still see it. You go to some country inns in Lviv Oblast, etc. You go to the back room, to the separate room, and there is a big portrait of Francis Josef. I've seen it 1 year ago.
But in Austria, is there an appreciation that this part of Europe once was linked so closely to Vienna and to Austria?
Yes, but maybe a little bit less, to be very honest, than it is in Western Ukraine. And this is partly due to, I put it in a different way. When Otto von Habsburg was still alive, I think he died in 2008 or 2009, at the age of 97 or 98, when he was still active, he was Doctor of Honors of Chernivtsi University and I think of Lviv University, etc., etc. He was doing a lot for Ukraine. But this has been a little bit lost because his son, Karl von Habsburg, he's a friend of mine. I know him quite well. He's not that active concerning Ukraine because he doesn't have the historic roots so much as his father had back to the Second World War, etc., etc. So the perception of monarchy, maybe even a little bit more prevailing in Western Ukraine as compared to Austria.
And your projects in your Ukrainian-Austrian association on the cultural front, what kind of things have you been involved in?
You have been mentioning that I'm married to a cultural star, to an operna diva, as the Ukrainian says. I'm proud. of that, of course. And Susanna is a soloist of National Opera. She is singing in French, in Italian. She knows some Italian. She knows some French. She's good in German. Mozart operas, she's maybe the best because she's fluent in German.
Ah, we forgot about Mozart and the Mozart festivals that have started
up. Yes, and Oksana Liniv. Is a friend of Susanna, and Susanna will be performing the soprano role in the Mozart Requiem on 16th of July in Lviv.
Fantastic, fantastic. Where Mozart's son ended up or was spent quite a long time there.
Right.
People don't know this.
Right.
Yes. Okay, look, I'm sorry we've run out of time. My traditional question is, looking forward, what message would you like to share in a sentence or two with our listeners about Ukraine, about the Austro-Ukrainian connection, or your own sentiments as far as relations with this country?
Concerning foreigners, and not only talking about business,
a message
general.
Even to our listeners in Ukraine, to the younger generation.
Forget about corruption, because corruption will be prevented, hopefully, finally, by the government, by the official Ukraine, so to say. There are so many areas in Ukraine where there is not so much corruption. So don't be blind and say Ukraine is corrupt and this is no good. No. People are hospitable, people are friendly, the country is beautiful, a lot of cultural heritage, joint heritage even with Western Europe, not only with Austria, but also Poland, etc., Hungary, etc., etc. Come to Ukraine. Many people are trustworthy, so not everybody is corrupt. And take this country as it is, and it may be a very good decision, and you may not be disappointed. So I like to be here, and I think help and assist and contribute to the development of the potential of Ukraine, which is huge.
Okay, so in short, don't miss the Ukrainian wood because of the tree of corruption that threatens to block or impair your vision. See the broader picture. Thank you for this inspiring note on which we finish. I've been talking to Alfred Prowse, the president of the Ukrainian-Austrian Association. Thank you very much, Alfred, for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was really a pleasure.
A Kyiv band called Shoste Chutya, which means sixth sense, just released a new song. It's a love song, sad but with a happy ending. They titled it Ya Bez Tebe. It can be translated as Without You. Enjoy. Next week, we'll be back with more commentary on events in Ukraine. Andriy Kulikov will talk with military experts about regulating conflict. So tune in again for another edition of Ukraine Calling. We would be happy to receive any feedback from you. Write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. This is Tanya Bednarczyk in Kyiv. Thanks so much for listening.